Here we go. Everybody stay there in that passage, all right? We'll get to that in just a minute. I'm going to talk to you about Josiah tonight. The Bible says that Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. The Bible also says that Josiah, at 8 years old, began to seek after the Lord. The Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord as a young man. You know, it's not true that teenagers have to go through, you know, a rebellious phase. It's not true that teenagers have to go through, you know, some sort of period in their life getting away from the things of God and hopefully eventually they'll come back. It's not true. You can determine right now. Listen. You can determine right now. As a young person, I am going to follow the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not going to turn to the right hand or to the left. You see that about Josiah? You can choose the very same thing. Now, the direction of your life, it doesn't have to be determined by your circumstances. What I mean by that is oftentimes people's lives pretty much just turn out the way they do because they're simply products of their environment. You ever heard of that? For example, like in the inner cities and so on, you have a drug culture. You got a gang culture. You ever heard of people say, man, I just want to get out. I want to, but I can't. I'm stuck. You know, and so their life basically ends up just becoming a reproduction of the product of their environment. You follow what I'm saying? Life doesn't have to be that way. That could have been the case, actually, though, with this young man, Josiah. His life could have simply been a product of his environment. And what you need to understand and consider here tonight is that he, Josiah, could have been exactly what his father was before him and what his grandfather was before him. Josiah could have been exactly the same as those guys. But this young man, Josiah, determined some things very early in life that set the stage not only for his life, but for the life of the nation that he was king of. And I see some good examples here tonight that I want to go through and consider in the life of Josiah that are great examples for you and for me. Whether you're 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, or 45, or 72. They're still good examples for all of us here tonight. I want you to understand, let's read in these verses here, again, verses 1 and 2. And Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Skip to verse 2 because I don't want to have to read like that guy back there. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. But what you need to understand is that David was not Josiah's biological father. But the Bible says he walked in all the ways of David, his father. But David wasn't his biological father. His biological father was a man named Ammon. Go back to chapter 21. And look at verse 19. And let's see what kind of a guy he was. Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haruz of Jotbah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the ways that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. What kind of a guy was he? Well, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did what his father did, who was Manasseh, and he forsook the Lord God of his fathers. Ammon's father was Manasseh. Let's back up just a little bit and see what kind of a guy Manasseh was. Look at verse 1 of chapter 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worship all the hosts of heaven, and serve them. Remember we talked about Hezekiah this morning? How Hezekiah tore down the high places, and he broke in pieces the idols, and broke that brazen serpent, and tried to get things put back into place. Remember that? Well, here comes Manasseh on the scene, his son, who built again the high places that his father took down. Let's keep reading about Manasseh. Verse 4 says, "And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name." What is he doing? He's building altars to false gods in the temple, in the house of the Lord. Talk about blasphemy. All right, let's move on. Verse 5 says, and verse 6 says, "And he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. And he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, 'In this house, in Jerusalem, which I have chosen of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearken not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel.'" Whoa! See what kind of a guy Manasseh was? Doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Ammon, his son, followed in his footsteps, did evil in the sight of the Lord. As far as heritage goes, you could easily and clearly say that Josiah did not have a godly heritage. You with me? You following here? Think about this. Josiah could have easily turned into exactly what his father and his grandfather was before him. He could have been a product of his environment. But he didn't. But why? Why didn't he? Because he made some choices and some determinations early on in his life that he was going to follow a different course, in a different direction, and he was going to follow after God. If you're writing things down, you can write this down. Are you thinking? Are you listening? The true value and end result of someone's life really depends upon their relationship to God and not their circumstances. The true value and end result of someone's life depends on their relationship to God and not their circumstances. I want to look at some of these features of Josiah and look at some of the characteristics of this young king and his character that can be a great example for all of us. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless here tonight. And Lord, we do need your Spirit to move among us. We need your Spirit to apply your Word. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit would be in full control. Lord, that your Word would be powerful and impactful in our lives for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, what were some features about this young man's character that can be an example to us? And the title of the message tonight is Josiah and the Book. Josiah and the Book. And you'll understand where I'm coming from in just a little bit. The very first thing, though, is that we see that Josiah chose a good example to follow. Verse 2 says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David, his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Josiah chose a good example to follow in his life. Notice here that he chose David as his example to follow, when he could have easily chosen his biological father to follow, or his grandfather, which was Manasseh, to follow. He might have even chosen Hezekiah, his great-great-grandfather, who did some good things for the Lord, even though he had his own ups and downs besides. But the Bible says that he chose David to follow after. Amen. Why? He didn't choose any of these others. Why did he choose David? Because at a very young age, he determined to seek after the God of David. He wanted the God of the man who was called a man after God's own heart. Amen. That's the guy that he chose to follow as an example. Look what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. All right, go with me over there quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. You can hold your place there in our text, but 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 1, look at this. The Bible says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. What does the Bible say about him? While he was yet young, he decided and purposed in his heart to seek after God, after the God of David. Amen. He made a decision. He wasn't going to follow the example of his own father. He was going to follow a good example, the God of David, his father. What a powerful statement. While he was yet young. You know what? He didn't have to go out into the world and experience all kinds of wickedness and ruin and wreck his life and realize what a mistake it was and then turn around and come back and seek after God. He didn't do that. He didn't have to do that because he determined he was going to follow the right example. David established the kingdom in righteousness, the Bible says. And verse 2 states that Josiah walked in the ways of David and declined not to the right hand or to the left because he desired the God of David. And listen, in this I find that Josiah is a good example. Because at a very young age, a young man at 16 years old, he chose the right example to follow. Let me ask you the question. What example have you chosen to follow? Because the truth is, you're following something or someone. You have not and are not charting a new course for life, teenager. Someone's already been where you're at. Been there and done that. You are following an example. What is it? Someone has already been where you're at, like I said. And the point that I'm trying to make here, teenager, is that you need to choose for yourself the right example, or you'll end up following the wrong example. It's a choice that you make. You need to choose to follow the right example, or you'll end up following the wrong one. For example, you could follow the example of worldliness. There's lots of examples out there of that. You know, you got the entertainment industry, movie stars. They basically set the trends and the fashions. You know, there's a new haircut style, new hairstyle that's out there. Oh, it's so pretty, it's so good, I gotta do it. There's a new kind of clothing, a new fashion that people are wearing. It's like, oh, that's the cool thing. I wanna be a hipster. I wanna have the manicured beard and the black glasses, you know, and the rolled up, cuffed up jeans and all that kind of stuff. I wanna look like it. I wanna be cool. You guys even know what I'm talking about? Yeah, see, you do. Uh-huh. The question is, why do I know any of that? You can follow the example of worldliness that promotes ungodliness, the lifestyle of the rich and the famous. You could be pursuing and following after those kinds of examples, the athletes, the superstars. You might even be following the example of your peers. sometimes we feed off of each other. Remember the story I told you about myself today? When I was in a teen group, just like this, had peers older than me that I looked up to. Well, and if they did it, well, then I'm going to do it. If they thought it was cool, then that's what I think is cool. We can follow the example of our peers. That could be good or that could be bad. Your peers might be indifferent to the things of God. Don't really care that much about serving God. I want to be cool like them. Or we could choose to follow the example of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has called us to follow in His footsteps, to follow His example. We could take the time. Let's go over to read in 1 Peter chapter 2. Hold your place here quickly and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2 verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." The context is talking about the sufferings of Jesus Christ and suffering shame for His name. Listen, listen, teenager. Listen, young person. You can choose to follow the example of Christ. And it doesn't matter what the world thinks. I will gladly suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. I don't care if they think I'm weird. I'm going to follow Christ. You know, when it comes to dress standards, and it comes to holiness and separation and godly living, oh, we don't want to stand out too much because we don't want people to think that we're weird. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those weird Christians. You follow what I'm saying? Are you willing to suffer shame for His name? Jesus Christ suffered for you. We could read over in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 5, how Jesus Christ humbled Himself and took upon Himself the form of a servant. And He humbled Himself. Are we following the example of Christ in humility? Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 6, the Bible says in 1 John 2 and verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." You say you abide in Jesus Christ, you say that you're a Christian, you ought to walk like Jesus Christ. Amen. Just like He did. Josiah chose the right example to follow. He didn't follow his environment. He easily had wicked and ungodly influences in his life because of his father. He didn't follow that. He followed after God. But secondly, and where I really want to spend our time here tonight, if you go back to our text in 2 Kings 22, I want you to note that Josiah was one who revered the Word of God. Watch this story unfold here. All right? So we read in verses 1 and 2, but I want you to see what's happening here. We get to verse 3. "And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the doors had gathered of the people, and let them deliver it to the hand of the doers of the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house." Now follow what's happening here. Who was his father? Who was Josiah's father? Ammon, right? He did evil in the sight of the Lord, right? And what did his father do? Well, he set up idol worship and so on. What did Manasseh, his father, before him do? Man, he set up idol worship in the house of God, in the temple of God. And the temple of God was basically non-existent as the house of God anymore. It was run down. There was breaches in it and so on. And here's Josiah who's wanting to repair the house of the Lord. It's in disarray because of his father and his grandfather. You follow this? All right? So he says He wants Hilkiah the priest to have this money. He wants to give it to the doers of the work so they can repair the house of God. Verse 6, unto carpenters and builders and masons to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, note this, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, and brought the king word again, and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered to the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. I want you to understand here something tonight. Josiah was a young man who revered the Word of God. We have to understand that when the house of the Lord was in disarray and disrepair, it hadn't been the house of God. There hadn't been worship to God there. And so the book of the law, the Word of God, it was long gone. It was forgotten in the minds of the people. It was hidden in the walls of the temple. And here they're going about to do the work to remodel and repair the temple. And they come across this thing that had been lost for so long. And Shaphan reads it. And he goes, whoa! I found the book of the law! And he took it to the king. And he read the word of God to King Josiah. And the Bible says that when he heard the words of the book of the law, that he fell down and he rent his clothes. This is powerful. The Bible says that the Word of God had such an impact upon Josiah's life that it began to completely change everything about him.
Amen.
Note some interesting things about Josiah's response here that is a great example for you and for me. First of all, when Josiah heard the Word of God read to him, he took it as personal just for him. Think about this. It had been lost. It hadn't been read. He didn't know much about it, but he knew that when it was read, it was the book of the law. It was the law of God. And when he heard it, he took it as personal to him. When he began to seek after the Lord, the Word of God was made known unto him. And when the Word of God was revealed to him, Josiah took it as a personal message right from the very courts of heaven. And I would say to you tonight, teenager, listen, if you have begun to seek after the God of David, if you've begun to seek after the God of heaven, when God's Word is revealed and made known to you, it's going to have an impact on your life.
Amen.
You need to take it as personal. Right from the very courts of heaven, right to your heart, just for you. So often people read this Bible as it's just a book, or that it's something that it's afar off, it's distant, it's not really relevant to me right now. But that's not how Josiah took it. Oh, this book that was read to him, it was a personal message from God. This Word, when you seek God, becomes very real and very applicable to every part of your life. And when that's true, when the Word of God is applicable to every part of your life and you understand that, it is going to have a profound effect on your life. Look what happened to Josiah, verse 11. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. What does that mean, that he rent his clothes? Basically, it had a humbling effect upon him. And he saw himself and he saw the people for their sin. And it caused him to mourn because he understood what the consequences were. And he tore his clothes in humility and in shame, because he saw the truth. He fell down in humiliation before the Lord when he saw the ways of God and God's holiness. And he tore his clothes and he understood they'd been living not according to the ways of God. And likewise, the Word of God that's become personal in our lives will have a self-humbling, self-stripping effect on our life. Does that mean anything to you? I'm getting some blank stares. Hopefully it's because you're thinking. And hopefully it's because you're applying this powerful truth. Even examining your own heart. I'm going to get real specific here in just a minute. You better be serious, young person. What an opportunity you have to have the very God of heaven speak to your heart personally through His Word. Another interesting fact about His response is that when He took it personal, it had a humbling effect on His life. It changed some things, and then it became the inspiring motive for His life. Follow what chapter 23 in verse 2 and 3 say. Verse 2, "The king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which he found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of their heart and with all of their soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant." Listen, the Word of God became the inspiring motive for his life. And he says when he found the truth and what God expected and what God wanted, he made a covenant to purpose to do all that the Word of God said to do. Amen. You want to talk about taking up the torch? You can't take up a torch if you're not going to take up the words of this book. To commit to do all that is written therein. Josiah was so serious about this that he purposed and made a covenant to do all that is written therein. This was a profound thing for him. And if the Word of God, listen, if the Word of God is not revered in your life, and the Word of God doesn't really mean anything to you, and it doesn't really have much of an effect in your life, I would wonder if you're even saved. Why? Because 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. Go over there with me. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 4. I'll wait till you get there. Verse 4 says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." Listen, if you have a love for God and a love for the Word of God and it impacts your life and you desire to keep the truth of God's Word, hey, that's a mark of genuine salvation. But if you say that you know Him and you don't do what He says in His Word, the truth is not in you. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If the Word of God is not revered to you, listen, in this book, hey, we get it out because we're going to church on Sunday. But we got to get it off the shelf. It's been sitting over there all week long. Right? And oh, we're going to church. I got to find my Bible. Where is that? Oh, here it is. I got to dust it off before I walk into church. How much effect and impact does that book have in your life day to day? Are you with me? A truly saved person who loves God, this book is going to be precious.
to their soul and to their life.
How much do you love this book? How much of an impact does this book have in your life from day to day? Josiah, oh, when he heard the words of the law, oh, it had an effect in his life. And he saw God's holiness. He saw the way that they were living. He understood, we are in trouble. And he rent his clothes. And he said, and this book became the inspiring motive for his life to do the things that are written herein, because these are the words of God. You see the connection between Josiah seeking after God and Josiah obeying the word of God? You can't separate them. Not only did he revere the word of God, but if you go back to our text there in 2 Kings 22, we find that Josiah sought to know the mind of God for himself. Remember how old he is right now. Remember how much of an impact the Word of God had on him. Now we find that he sought to know the mind of God for himself. Look at verse 13. I got to get there. Chapter 22, verse 13. Josiah says, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that is written concerning us." What did he say here? He says, "I want you to go and inquire of the Lord for me and for all the people, because according to what this book has said and according to the way that we've been living, God's wrath is on us." We need to know the mind of the Lord here. Are you here? Are you following me? He wanted to know for himself the mind of the Lord at a young age. As the king, no doubt, he wanted to know what God would have for him and for his people. And he learned from the scriptures that were read that the wrath of God was kindled against those who had this truth but didn't hearken unto it. Understand, teenager, that the words of scripture and the God of Scripture are one and the same. And when Josiah met this book, he felt like he was in the very presence of God. It was a personal message to him, and it caused him to desire to know the will of God for his life. It wasn't just enough for him to believe the book, but the tidings of the book compelled him to want to do them and to know the will of God. You know what? That's powerful. Because Josiah wanted his own life to come into conformity with the Word of God. When we have access to the truth of God day in and day out, and we believe the Word of God, but we don't do the Word of God or conform our life to it, you know what? We place ourselves in a position where the wrath of God abides on us. How do I know that? Because Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." You know what that word "hold" means? It means to suppress. In other words, they suppress the Word of God. They don't let the Word of God impact and influence their life. They have access to it, but they suppress it and they don't let it work in their life. The wrath of God is on those people because God's giving opportunity. Now, I would say that there's no one here tonight who would say that they don't believe the Bible. Probably safe in saying that. All Christian people here from a good church, we would all say that we believe the Bible. And yet I wonder if there are people still here who refuse to conform their lives to it, even though they say they believe it. You know what? Sometimes even saved young people can be that way. You know, I've gotten saved. That's good. Got that part taken care of. Now I can go and live how I want to live. Sometimes even saved people can be indifferent to serving God. They can be indifferent to giving their lives wholly to the Lord. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 that you are not your own. That you're bought with a price. And we are to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirit, which are God's. It doesn't belong to me. And young people, I'm telling you tonight, you need to make choices today that are going to establish the path of your life for tomorrow. You cannot ride on the coattails of your parents. You cannot ride on the coattails of your youth pastor or your teachers. You need to decide right now, the path of my life is going to be following after Jesus Christ, and the purpose of my life is to obey this book. Amen! You want to take up the torch? You need to make decisions. Not riding on the coattails of your parents or your pastor, but for me. Josiah wanted to know the will of God for himself. He said, go inquire of the Lord for us. We need an answer here. Because God's wrath abides on us. Go to chapter 23, verse 1. We see another great example here in Josiah and his character. In chapter 23, the Bible says, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all of the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which he found in the house of the Lord. You know what Josiah did? He published abroad the words of God. Oh man, it wasn't enough just that he found it for himself. He knew what it did for him, and he had to tell everybody else. This book can do the same for you. He wasn't ashamed of his faith in this book. He believed it was God's message to all. And so he read it out loud in the ears of all the nation. He knew what it had done in his own life and how it could do the same for the people so that they could be pleasing to the Lord too. He didn't keep it to himself. Let me ask you tonight, teenager, are you ashamed of the Word of God? And the testimony of Jesus Christ? Parents? Adults, how much does the Word of God affect your life and influence your life and impact your life day to day? Are you ashamed of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ? What do unsaved people know of you? Let me ask it again. What do unsaved people know of you? How do they see you? Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 8, Paul said to Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus. Josiah wasn't ashamed of the word. He wasn't ashamed of the book. He published it abroad because he knew the impact it could have in people's lives. But then lastly, I want you to note back in chapter 23, in verse 3, 2 Kings 23, in verse 3, we find that Josiah is a great example because he consecrated himself to do the will of God. Verse 3 says, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all heart and with all their soul to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. He consecrated himself to do the will of God. Josiah took a bold stand for righteousness and for truth, when he easily could have done exactly what his fathers did and become exactly what his fathers were. He very easily could have done that. But he took a bold stand, and he chose to seek the Lord when he heard the Word of God, and he knew the will of God, and then he determined to consecrate himself to do the will of God. Let me tell you something. It's one thing to say that you believe the words of this book, but it's quite another thing to perform them. Quite another thing to have your life line up with and come into conformity with the Word of God. The faith, though, you can say it, I believe it. But the faith that does not lead to action, according to James, is a dead faith. If there's not evidence to back up what you say in the way that you live, it's a dead faith. The consecration of ourselves to do the will of God is just a natural result and logical outcome of one who has genuine faith in God. If it's real in the heart, it's going to be real in the way that we live. Listen, teenager, is it truly in your heart? Is it truly in your heart to want to serve God? Or are you interested in other things? You're going to follow something. You need to choose the course of your life. You need to make some decisions. And if you're writing some things down, write this down. And remember this. The measure of the influence of God's Word upon our hearts is seen in the measure of our personal surrender to doing the Word of God. The measure of the influence of God's Word upon our heart is seen in the measure of our personal surrender to doing the Word. You follow that? You understand that? You can tell how much of an impact the Word of God has on your life based on how much we've surrendered to actually doing it in our life. That's a powerful thought. The Word of God totally and completely changed Josiah. And it gave himself wholly to doing the Word of God. One last passage of Scripture. 2 Kings chapter 23, since we're here. I want you to go over to the end of the chapter. Verse 24. Toward the end of the chapter. 2 Kings chapter 23, look at verse 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images, all those things that his father was dealing in, and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. Wow, what a statement about Josiah. He got rid of all the familiar spirits and the wizards and the idols and so on that he might perform the words of the book. And the Bible says that there was no king before him that cleaved to the Lord and sought after the Lord with all of his heart. There was nobody like him. That is the reason why Josiah was successful. I want you to close your eyes, bow your heads. We're going to have our